He's Leslie Mandogi of Mandogi Soulmates, and you're listening to a Live Minute.
Influential producer, musician, and world-renowned Hungarian singer Leslie Mandoki formed his Mandoki Soulmates band 32 years ago, alongside founding members Jethro Tull's Ian Anderson, Cream's Jack Bruce, and guitar great Al DiMeola. Their latest masterpiece, recorded completely in analog vinyl from start to finish, is called A Memory of Our Future, and it's a handwritten love letter, a call to action, if you will, against division and for humanity, something we can all use right about now. We call it a vinyl jazzy prog rock love letter to all who appreciate truly great music in authentically beautiful vinyl form. And to make it all the more lovely, it comes complete with an actual 12-page booklet of liner notes handwritten by Mandoki himself. This is a Life Minute with Leslie Mandoki. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Congratulations on this
album.
It's really beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Tell us about it for those that don't know. What did it all mean to you and how did it come together?
How should I start? I was a little boy growing up strong behind the Iron Curtain. A Russian dictatorship, you're told in the school that you're never going to see London or New York, or, you know, so that you have to hate America. And then I was 16 and I was trying to listen to American music. The only way to listen to American music, it was the Voice of America. It was disturbed by the Russians, but you could tune in and you listen to early Beatles and early Stones, and it was a wonderful time. And then I had a vision with my teenage band to fuse British prog rock like Jethro Tull with American fusion jazz like Return to Forever. So as my father died and on his deathbed, he said, "You have to promise me something, that my grandchild never gonna read censored papers." I said, "Dad, but there is the Iron Curtain." And he said, "Boy, it's nothing for you. You're going to leave and you should live your dreams and don't dream your life." And that became a song in this album. So it took about until I became 22 that we found the tunnel, and Gabo Chipo and myself, we just managed to escape. As we were touching down in a refugee camp in Germany, the American resettlement officer from the CIA was asking me, saying, "I really understand that you wanted to escape from the Russian communism, but what the hell are you planning to make here as a musician? You're 22. And I said, "Look, my plan is to play with Ian Anderson of Jethro Tull and Al DiMeola and Jack Bruce of Cream." And he said, "Come on. I mean, these guys, they were in the peak of their career." Then he was turning to Gabor and he said, "And what the hell are you going to?" I said, "You know, I'm 22 as Leslie and I'm a young cartoonist and have ideas, a lot of vision. And so I would like to go to Hollywood and, you know, start with my own studio." Everybody knows he did this, and his first success was Simpsons and the second was Rugrats. So this is the start of it. I was just trying to live my dreams and don't dream my life.
What would you say the concept of this new record is?
It has a lyrical, a message concept. That's also the reason why you have this Black Swan as a cover. Because we all feel that we are living in a divided world, that we are living in a labyrinth of crisis, and the compass is lost. We are just in like a dark tunnel and there is no lighting torch at the end of this tunnel. And we are going to write an album and record an album with is really this guiding light at the end of the tunnel. Musically, it was a great experience because first of all, it was an experiment. It was a huge challenge. We were out on the road. At the end of the show, we were singing the last song of our Utopia for Realist album. And I was saying at the end of the show, such, "Well, you're passing on the torch to the younger rebels." But then I kept on saying, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. The world turned to be a mess. We cannot pass on the torch. This does work. We have to fix it first." So the young rebels and the old rebels. So I kept on writing songs on the road. And Tony Carey came up and he said, "Leslie, I hate you." I said, "What's the problem, boy?" I said, "Because you wrote the songs like all of us would write as we were 22 or 23, it's full power, full energy, you know, conviction. So we have to record it right away." So one of the very special issue is that this album was not planned. It was not like we had already the advance of the record company and we have to do it right now. But we looked at our itinerary and we could locate only a very short period of time that everybody could get together here by the lake. And I said, "You know what? What about to record it's analog? Because the whole art and the whole creativity process is going to take place during the recording and not in a post-production. Now I'm asking you as a lady, how would you like to get a love letter? As a handwritten love letter or a text message?
Handwritten.
Okay, this is a handwritten album. So we thought, okay, and like in a handwritten letter, if in the second page you mess up something, then you can restart the whole process. So this time I was not programming anything. So I just took the pencil, I wrote it down, the sheet music and the lyrics, and we got together, put up the red light, and played. Consequently, the whole everything sounds totally differently because we don't have this solo after solo, whatever. It's all we play together. You feel this interaction. We had really a lot of joy to record this way, you know, analog.
How did you come up with the name Mandoki Soulmates?
I was born as Leszlo Mandoki. Actually, in my original Hungarian name was Laszlo. One of my bandmates had the same name. And so we thought, okay, one of us is going to change it to English version. So that's how I became Leszlo. But Mandoki is the way I was born. So this is my original name. But Soulmates, it was not my idea. It was a funny situation. The band always been called just Mandoki, like Santana or Bon Jovi. But as well about the third album, I have approximately 9 titles for the album on a piece of paper. And I was visiting my dear friend Aldi Maola. Which of these 8 or 9 titles would you prefer? Because I can't decide. I think I like all of them. And he said, you know what? I have a better one. What about we call ourselves Soulmates? Because that's what we are. You know, we are truly Soulmates. Actually, we left this Mandoki because everything in our catalog, like the most of my songs are not written by me. I just wrote them down. Life gave me the privilege to be a songwriter.
I can't believe that Ian Anderson, for example, like he was your idol. Now you're playing with him. You did this record. How did you even like get in touch with him?
And he loved my songs, my writing, my playing. And so he just joined the band. And that's happened with all the others. Actually, when you see on the YouTube our Frank Prescott, there was a making of, and Ian Anderson is telling the story. So from his point of view, so I only can recommend check that out because it's wonderful to hear how he's telling the same what I was.
And then you're a producer too. Tell us about your producing career too. You produce for a lot of heavy hitters, No Angel, Lionel Richie, Phil Collins.
To become a producer was kind of the most organic, natural growing thing in life because I think Ian Anderson is perfectly right that you should be a great musician, as he's saying, to be a great producer, to have this understanding for how we work in a studio, what is the atmosphere. And I was spending my lifetime in the studios, and until about 40 years ago, I was building one of the biggest studios in mainland Europe. And I became a father. I didn't want to move back and forth between the States and England and Germany. Actually, in the first year as I established my studio, so here by the lake. I mean, I show you. You see the
lake? Wow, it's so beautiful.
And you know, we are canoeing here with all the stars. I'm very happy about all these wonderful, great artists giving me the privilege and honor to trust me. And what I'm trying to give is artistical and technical added values. You know, so I'm a kind of American type of producer. Most of the mainland European producers have a certain sound, like especially the Swedish producers or German producers. I'm not that kind. I'm rather like in a school of my dear friend, Chris Jones, that I'm trying to create with certain artists and an artistical added value.
And you're touring?
Yeah, of course. We're touring a lot. And actually, this time, we're going to play a couple of big, big, big summer festivals in Europe. And there's always a big fun. And now we just scheduled it out. And the folks are getting into our studio. And then we start to play together.
What will fans get when they see you play live?
Well, they get the best concert they experienced. No show, no big lighting things. We just play. And we play 4.5 hours.
What does music do for people?
Create peace and understanding and mutual values. Builds bridges. Music is the greatest unifier. I think it's time to say again, let's make music and not war.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.